All right, let's start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is a day that you have made. I thank you for each and every student, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that they're receiving the revelation knowledge, the impartation that they desire and need, Lord God, to be successful in life and in ministry, Lord God. And that each one of them, Lord God, receive the mantle from the apostle, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, we just thank you and we give you all the praise of what you're doing by your Spirit. And, Father, as always, I trust the Holy Spirit to show up in this class, Lord God. For without him, I can do nothing, and I would fall flat on my face. So I yield completely and totally unto him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. What we're going to do is kind of continue where I left off last week. One of the last things I was stating at the end of the class last week was I said a major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually to justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider less knowledgeable or who has spent less time in ministry than they have. That's pride right there. You know, when you don't want to serve. It's so very important that we understand that in order to get what we need, we have to get it by our service and our submission. I use the analogy a lot, you know, the anointing of God always flows down from the head all the way to every part of the body of Christ. And it's so very important that we position ourselves properly in order for that anointing to flow as it should. In this dispensation and this time period that we're living in, there's been a resurfacing of the apostolic, and we're understanding a lot better. And I thank God for that, because what that does, it gets the church in divine order the way it's supposed to be. And so we're understanding that apostolic, or I like to put it like this, as an eternal office in the church, and it never went away. A lot of people thought that the apostolic or the apostles died when John he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and after he died. But no, that office is very vital and is still in position today. This office of the apostle brings the church back into alignment with the will and the purpose and the vision of God, and is reestablishing, you know, the way God always wanted the kingdom to be. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But what we see and what pride has done is caused there to be a lot of long rangers out there in ministry. People out there, on their own, without a covering, without spiritual guidance, without leadership, without mentorship, without a father. And I thank God that last week, well, actually the last couple of weeks, the apostles been ministering on teachers and on spiritual fathers and what that really means. So we can understand that you know, outside of ministry, without a father, you are a bastard. In other words, you have no father. A bastard is somebody who doesn't have a father, no guidance, no correction, no anointing to launch them forward. Amen. And that's so very important. I'm gonna read from the book of Acts chapter 13, and verse 1 and 4. You can turn with me in your Bibles there. And before I read, one of the things I want to say, Satan has caused a division through the spirit of pride, causing many spiritual leaders or those people called into the fivefold ministry not to yield and not to submit to government, to spiritual leadership. But all through the Bible, we see God's divine hand in order, in leadership, and in submission. Those people who are successful, they follow that pattern. Okay, in Acts chapter 13, it says, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that were called Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Menene, which had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, now that's important, they fasted and they prayed, it said they laid their hands upon them and they sent them out. In other words, the apostles laid their hands on them and they sent them out. In other words, they were commissioned. They were commissioned and they were sent out. And that's so very important. They didn't just go out. You see, a prideful person would just go out on their own. You know, a good illustration, when a person decides to go out in business, say you wanted to start a McDonald's franchise, you don't just go out and say, I'm a build me a McDonald's at the corner of 2nd and Main. You know, you first have to apply. You first have to have the financial backing, you know, and McDonald's is going to do research to see the location and how much the traffic patterns and they want to make sure that McDonald's is going to be successful, you know. So you just don't start a franchise without first going through the proper protocol that McDonald's or any franchise has set up, you know. Any business, you know, before they build a plant or move a company to a particular location, they do all kind of you know, research and you know, see if first of all, is do we have the work base to support this company, you know, the technical expertise, you know, are there universities in the area? All of this goes into play because they want their business, they don't want nothing to hinder their business, you know. And in spiritual things, it should be that before a person just goes out in ministry, that they're sent out by their man of God, you know, with the proper marching orders, and not just get launched themselves and get shipwrecked. And that's so very important that we understand that, and that people learn how to submit properly. And that's because when you don't submit properly, and you disconnect, or you never did connect, there's no covering. There's no covering, and you're just out there by yourself. And you don't want that to happen because then now you become open prey for the enemy, you know. Because you have. I mean, even you know, in the natural, when my daughter started out in life, you know, and started working, whenever she needed advice or she was running a little low on funds or had car problems, she'd pick up the phone and say, look, this is going on. Can you help me? Sure. You know, you want them to be independent, but at the same time, you're there in case they need you. No difference than when you submit properly, because a spiritual father can see things on the horizon and can speak a word into your life that can change everything and make a transition so much smoother. But when a person is operating in a spirit of pride, they have that independent spirit that we talked about. And they just they feel like they can do it on, well, you know, they can do it on their own. You know, That's a deception. That's a deception of the enemy, and that's something that needs to be corrected. A person that's influenced by the spirit of pride, give me a second here. A person that's influenced by the spirit of pride will demonstrate three distinct characteristics, and these you're going to have to know. The first one is stubbornness. A person walking in stubbornness, they're steadfast and they don't want to change. They're just stubborn anyway. I'm not changing. I'm going to do it. And even if they've been proven that they're wrong, that, you know, they don't want to go back and admit I was wrong. That's just being plain stubborn. You know, that's a sign of pride. Another one is inflexibility. Unwillingness to change or bend. Last week I used the word stiff neck. You know, a person who just won't budge. They stiff necked. You know, I remember an illustration of a little kid. He's about to catch a whooping, and he's just going to stand up there and just take it and not move and don't want to even share it, just want to be stiff, you know. You always want to be pliable in the things of God. You know, you always... One of the things I've learned in this ministry over the years is that when the apostle makes a move, we flow with him. You know, I never forget, for years we used to have bumper stickers on our cars, the word. And you could recognize anybody who came to this church because they had a blue bumper sticker with WORD in white, you know. And then one Sunday morning from the pulpit, the apostle says, we're no longer a local church. God is branching us out. You know, right now I'm on the internet. We're branched out everywhere. You know, this ministry is seen by thousands of people, you know, making a worldwide impact. So he said, we're no longer a local ministry. I want everybody now to go out and tear your bumper sticker off. So we walked out the church and everybody went out and tore their bumper sticker off. So now it wasn't just a local group of people with the stickers, the word. We were branching out to everywhere. You know, we wanted to include everybody in the ministry worldwide. But that was a turn, you know, and that was a shifting that we were doing. And you have to be flexible. You have to be flexible. That's so very important. Another characteristic of a person who's walking in pride is that they have hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Not sensitive to God. A callous or cold and a hard heart. You know, when you have a hard heart, you can't hear God properly. Because you remember we talked about Leviathan being like a sea serpent, and he wraps his coil around you and he grips you so tight that you can't hardly breathe. Well, when a person has a hard heart, they can't hear God properly because their heart is hard and it's not pliable. It's hard and it's calloused and it's cold and they just gonna do their own thing. So those three characteristics again are stubbornness, inflexibility, and a hard heart. You know, people who operate in pride will demonstrate all three of those characteristics. In the book of Isaiah 27 and 1, I'm going to read from, well, I'm going to read the King James Version first. It says, this is what the Bible description of Leviathan is again. In that day, the Lord with his seer sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeting serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent. He will slay the reptile that is in the sea. That's Isaiah 27 and 1. I'm going to read the Amplified on that. The Amplified says, in that day the Lord will deliver Israel, will deliver us from his enemy and also from the rebel powers of evil and darkness. His sharp and unrelenting, great and powerful sword will visit and punish Leviathan, that swift, fleeting serpent, Leviathan, the twisting and winding serpent. He will slay the monster that is in the sea. So what we're seeing here, that the Lord, he's the one that's going to destroy that prideful spirit. One of the things I want to point out to you is that when a person gets really wrapped up in pride to such a large degree, it's almost impossible for them to break free of it. You know, it's going to take, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's going to take the anointing of God and that person to humble themselves before God so that influence of Leviathan or pride can be broken off their lives. The spirit of Leviathan or pride is symbolic of strength and power of the will. This indicates that we're dealing with a strong spirit. In other words, this is a spirit described, like I said, as a sea monster or some demonic force that destroys families, it destroys relationships, it can destroy ministries, churches, it just, you know, because it like I said, it disguises itself with a lot of other, you know, pride, arrogance, haughtiness, you know, bitterness, envy, all of those things are wrapped up, and a lot of times they go out in front of pride, but pride keeps them out there. And sometimes even after, like I said last, even after you're really not in strife with nobody no more, but pride won't let you go and ask for forgiveness and say I'm sorry, because you don't feel like I have to do it, you know. But humility will always humble itself down and recognize that, hey, that look, let's get this straight, you know. Let's get this dissension in our lives straight, you know. Humility will come back to your spiritual father and say, you know, I missed it, the prodigal son. That's humility, you know. You recognize, you know, that hey, that I've messed up and I need to get back on track. Humility will get you back on track. But pride will keep you on walking down the highway, you know. Even though you don't have, you know, I want to say a word, but I'm not gonna say. Even though you have no guidance and no direction, but pride will just keep you out there, you know, on your own, you know. When the help is right there, but you won't receive it. All right. In the book of Job, the Lord asked Job some questions about Leviathan, about pride that Job was going through. This is Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41, verses 1 and 2. It says, can thou draw out Leviathan, or pride, with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? In other words, can you capture Leviathan? Now, that's what the question here that the Lord is asking Job, you know. Can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord? You know, in other words, like you're fishing, can you hook him? Can you catch him out with his tongue? Can thou that you let down into the water? Can thou put a hook onto his nose and bore his jaw through with a thorn? These verses are questions that the Lord is asking Job, that he and he wants Job to see his inability of man to dominate this spirit on his own or independently. The only way to defeat the spirit, and I just said it earlier, but the only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride is by the anointing of God. And only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus. You know, by the anointing of God, and you recognize that in your own ability, you are powerless without Jesus. In other words, you know, of my own self, I can do nothing, but in Christ, I can do all things. You know, it's an area of humility. I need to stop this. It's an area of humility that has to take place, and then through that humility, now the anointing of God can come and break that, you know. People who operate in pride, they first have to humble themselves. You know, the only way a person who is operating pride can get deliverance is they first have to come to a point of humility. You know, and once they come to a position of humility, see, the Spirit of God won't even come and do a work on them until they first humble themselves. So that's the key there. You've got to humble yourself. So it's going to take the anointing of God and a person to come in humility. So the only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride is by the anointing of God. And only if you humble yourself and recognize of your powerlessness without Jesus. We are powerless without Jesus. Humility, humbleness, and humility begins by recognizing our limitations and our dependency upon God. That's very important in ministry, recognizing your dependency upon God. No matter how anointed you get, no matter how blessed you are, and how God uses you, and really the more he does, the more humble, the more you should begin to walk in humility, because the more you're going to have to depend upon him. You know, and that's so very important. where a lot of people get into error and shipwreck is as they grow in ministry and as God begins to use them, their head begins to swell. They begin to be arrogant. They begin to think that they're the ones doing this, that God has chosen them specially, you know. And they forget that this was the Lord's doing. You know, God can set one up and he can lower one down. You know, so it's so very important to stay humble. That's something, especially in this ministry, I've learned just to walk in just total, complete humility. Lord, you know, and when I say humility, what I'm really talking about is, you know, Lord, I just want to humbly do your will. Whatever my assignment is, whatever I'm called to do, I want to do it in the spirit of humility. You know, recognizing, Lord, it's all about you. I don't want to receive any glory. Matter of fact, a lot of times people come up to you and say, Brother Calhoun, what you shared was really a blessing. I said, well, praise God. You know, I'm just, you know, doing what I'm asked to do, and I'm just, you know, flowing in, you know, whatever the apostle desire, whatever the ministry needs me, you know, it's not about me. Remember I said last week, a good friend of mine here in ministry, he shared this with me. He said, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. You know, no matter how other people may lift you up and just admonish you. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you want to stay small in your own eyes, you know, because you recognize this is him. It is him. Amen. All right, let's move on. Arrogant people do not depend on God for survival or as their source, nor do they seek God to help to achieve their goals. They rely on their own strength to obtain their heart's desires because they, you know, like I said, they have an independent spirit. They think that, well, what I stated last week, I. Remember Satan? I will exalt my throne above the thoughts of God. You know, I'm going to sit on the sides of the congregation of the north. I'm going to be like the Most High. You know, I. You know, that's that independent, arrogant, haughty spirit that's all wrapped up in pride. And we know when once that starts to manifest, the Bible says, pride goeth before the fall. Amen? All right. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride does not, listen to this, does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. A person who's operating in pride does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. Why is that? Because they think I can do it. You know, they're so caught up until they, you know, people who walk in humility are going to pray. You know, because we know God is our source, you know, but when you think you the source and I'm it, you know, I don't have time for prayer. You know, I'm about doing, establishing my ministry or doing whatever I'm doing. So they don't consider, you know, prayer an important part of their spiritual life. And that's so very, you know, that's sad, really. I mean, prayer is the foundation of every spiritual endeavor. Remember that. Prayer is the foundation for every spiritual endeavor. Before you begin to do anything, you really need to seek God and seek God's will and pray and before you launch out. You know, I remember when I was about to graduate from college and I had a lot of different directions I could have went in. I had offers to go into grad school for psychology and you know, college, and universities were sending me information. And I'll never forget, I was dating my wife at the time, and her and I was talking, and she said, well, just go out alone somewhere and just pray and seek God's will. And I remember going out to a park and finding some bushes where I could just be secluded. And just all day, just praying in the Holy Spirit, just saying, Lord, I just thank you that your will be done in my life. Not my will, but your will be done. You know, just, Lord, lead me in the way that you would have me to go. You know, my life is not my own, but it's hid in you, you know. And after about 3, 4, 5 hours of prayer, I got up. Didn't have no, still no precise direction, but I made a request unto God. And I had a desire to go to ministry school. I think I shared this. I'm hooking up where I left off a couple of weeks ago. I sent resumes out and you know, going to Tulsa. But I do believe my prayer had a lot to do with this. You know, the Bible says that, you know, a man's desire, you know, you could desire to do something, you know, but you know, it's God's will that's going to prevail in your life. And so when I, you know, started to head out in a direction I thought I should go, the Lord just arrested me. And, you know, as I stated, I was writing a letter saying I was planning on going to Bible school somewhere else. And the Lord said, no, that's not my will for you. You know, so now I'm getting direction. So I knew, well, I'm not going there, you know. And I remember after we had got married, the Lord, we were staying at a friend's house. And he said, I feel like the Lord wants me to give you guys two bags of groceries and send you, you know, back west towards Lake Charles, because I was living in Lake Charles for a while. And, you know, we looked at each other and we said, you know, we're not feeling that. We didn't tell him that, but we thanked him for his hospitality. We got in our car and, you know, and moved on. And the Lord said, stay here, you know. And so we stayed in the Baton Rouge area, stayed here, just waiting upon God, you know. End up, you know, meeting up with the apostle. And, you know, the Lord told us this is where we needed to be. I remember just as plain as day when the Lord spoke to me. We was in an old church in the city of Darrow. I went there for a service between Christmas and New Year. And while the apostle was ministering, the voice said, this is where you need to be. I turned around because I thought the man behind me was speaking to me, but it was the Lord, you know, divine direction. But prayer set that up, you know, and not wanting to just do your own thing. You know, and so the same year I joined was the same year the same school that you're a part of right now started, you know, our the charter class. And when, you know, when August came, you know, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and says, you need to sign up for the class. You know, I did, you know, sat under the class for 2 years. And then from that point on, it's been just a journey of faith, you know, watching the ministry grow, being a part of the ministry, and seeing God just do some miraculous things, you know. Just I could write a book about the things I've seen and experiences that manifested itself for us to be right here where we are today, you know. But prayer, you know, when you walk in humility, prayer will, you know, caused answered prayer, caused results, and you're not walking in pride. But a person who walks in pride, the spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride, is an obstacle to prayer. People find it hard to pray, are bound up under the influence of Leviathan or the spirit of pride. I remember, see how can I say this and keep everything confidential, but I remember a situation where we had to ask an individual to stop doing some things that they were doing by directions of the apostle. And they said, we will, or they will. And so we said, well, let's pray. And so it was about three of us, four of us in the room. We were praying and just thanking God, you know, that, you know, the conversation, everything was going to be carried out and, you know, God's will was going to be done. But the person that we were praying with, they were just kind of looking around. We bow our heads every night and I look up at the individual and they weren't praying. They were just looking around, you know. And, you know, I ended the prayer, amen. And, you know, it seemed like everything was okay, but it bothered me that, yeah, you know, they weren't in agreement, yes, sir, you know. People who walk in pride don't feel the need to pray, okay. Months went by, you know, things, everything looked hunky-dory. All of a sudden, the very thing that they were asked not to do, they end up doing it again. You know, disobedience. You know, I can do, see, pride says, I can do my own thing. You can't tell me what to do. I know what the Lord told me or somebody told me, you know. And I've seen it time and time again where people, first of all, they don't submit to authority, you know, and that's a problem. That's pride in itself. When you do not submit to authority, that's a sign of pride, because God is a God of order, according to Romans, the 13th chapter. He sets up all authority. Every ordinance of God, every authority is ordained and orchestrated by God. So when you resist the power that be, the Bible says you're resisting God. You're resisting God's order and God's authority. You know, so a prideful person will not submit to authority, and they don't feel the importance to pray. You know, even though they might be praying with you, but in their heart they're thinking something else. But see, humble people recognize the need to seek God and to pray because they realize that it is impossible to live without Him in His life, without Christ in their life, and to be victorious. And as I stated, in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being. So we see the importance of prayer. However, those who are arrogant make decisions without seeking God. Through prayer because they consider it unnecessary, you know. That's just, you know. Even if they do pray, they're praying their own will. You know, this is what I want to do. And all of a sudden they say, like, I heard from God, you know. But the apostle or somebody said, look, well, we're not getting that. You know, we don't, you know, just hold on for a minute. Stay put. I know I got to go now. You know, that's arrogance and that's pride. But then when you see the results, you know, that's the hurting point. You know, you see the results because they're not, you know, you walk out from under a covering and you walk into a storm. You walk into headaches, you know, and it doesn't have to be that way, you know, because you see the class, we're talking on honor. But when you know how not to walk in honor are examples of people and situations where honor was not exemplified and was not shown, well, then it's easy to say, well, the reciprocal of that is to submit. The reciprocal of that is to walk in humility and walk in obedience. And those things are just pivotal that we have to do. Psalms 10 and 4. The wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. That's Psalms 10 and 4. The wicked through his pride will not, through his pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. You know, that's a wicked person. And through the pride of his countenance, they don't seek after God, you know. Job 41 and 4 says, will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him as a servant forever? The spirit of Leviathan does not make covenants with anybody because it's an independent spirit. A covenant is a pledge, a vow. A covenant is designed to eliminate weaknesses. You know, the Lord takes upon our weaknesses and we take upon his strength, you know. But a person who is prideful don't feel the need to walk in covenant, you know. They don't feel the need to walk in covenant. They might be walking with you, but they're not walking in covenant. A covenant is something that should continue. Only thing that breaks a covenant is death. Yes, right. You know, when you join a church and you submit to your man of God or your woman of God and you're in covenant with them, that covenant should be a bond for life. You know, another good example, a marriage covenant. When people are married, that should be a bond for life. But you know, people who walk in pride, they don't have a problem getting a divorce. They don't, because they're not going to admit that they're wrong. You know, they don't want to work it out, you know, because, you know, you did something or they might have done something. They're not going to either ask for forgiveness or they're not going to receive forgiveness, you know, because pride won't let them do it, you know. And they're truth breakers. People who walk in pride are truth breakers, covenant breakers, you know, because they don't see the need, you know. But a person who walks in humility will, you know, will forgive. And not only forgive, but forget and say, look, let's work it out, you know. And then their marriage, their lives are so much more enriched because of it, because now God can come in and heal wounds, you know. And you see, wow. That's why, I tell people, and I'm getting into the marriage thing a little bit, you know, you really want to seek God for your mate. You really want to seek God for your mate. And the reason why I'm saying that is because every time you get hurt, it's harder to walk into another relationship open-heartedly, because that hurt is still there, you know. And one thing you can't do, you can't let that hurt now keep you from allowing a new relationship or experience that God may ordain to be the perfect one, you know. You have to let it go.
Yeah.
You got to let it go, because whatever sin that you retain will be retained in your life. But when you release somebody and you let them go, well, then you let that thing go, and it's not in your life anymore. And you move forward. But see, humility will allow you to do that. And trusting God, you got to trust God in order to do that. You know, because God has to be your source, you know, especially when you're hurting. Lord, you know, I know there's either someone better or you got something better for me. And trust God in humility that he's going to bring that right individual into your life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. People under the influence of the spirit of pride work as a lone ranger. They work alone. You know, they ride alone. They don't like to take orders. They don't like to serve under a covering because they don't want to submit. They don't believe in falling under the mission of another person. The Bible says, how can you expect to have your own ministry if you don't first submit to another man's ministry? You know, they just want to launch out. They're more concerned about what they can do instead of what they can do to help who God has assigned to them. You know, the apostle shared something a week or so ago about a man who was a part of the ministry. You know, we whenever we would witness, we had to turn in the names of the people so that the ministry could follow up on them and just do follow-up ministry. And when, you know, he was asked to give his list up, he said, no, I can't give. That's going to be a part of my ministry. These people gonna, you know. So he already, he's still a member of this church, but now he thinking about his own ministry. You know, one of the things, I've been a member here for 27 years. The very last thing, it's not even on my mind, but is to start my own ministry and to do my own thing.
Yeah.
No matter where I go, when I'm representing Word of Life Christian Center, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the first thing I do is to let them know that I'm coming as a representative of the ministry of my apostle. People say, well, is this your? No, this is not my ministry. No. I'm submitted to my man of God, you know. When I go to minister into the prisons, you know, and I tell the prison ministers, if I catch you getting behind a pulpit, stating your name and just start ministering, you probably won't minister no more. You know, you need to let them know where your headquarters are and who you represent, you know, because what that does, it aligns you properly. So whatever anointing that comes from that pulpit, now when you're ministering under the umbrella of this ministry or whatever ministry you're a part of, that anointing can, because you're aligned properly. And so that anointing oil that flows down from Aaron's beard, if you're the arm or the shoulder, you can get everything you need to be successful at whatever you're called to do. But the minute you say, you know, I'm so-and-so and I'm starting my ministry, there's no covering, there's no anointing, there's just you, you know. That's what pride will do. Amen. All right. I'm not getting as far as I want to get, but amen. All right. All right, listen up. A servant of the Spirit, a servant of Christ is a believer who serves the people. If you see, if you want to serve, pride will prevent you from serving and submitting properly. You know, a servant of Christ is a believer who serves people. But pride will prevent you from serving and submitting properly. You will have to, you will always have an ulterior motive, you know, our alternate agenda.
Yes.
You know, a person who walks in pride will always have an ulterior motive or an alternate agenda, you know, because they really want to do their own thing,
right.
You know, and it's all about them, you know. It, that's what pride will do. It's self-centered, it's self-seeking. Amen? Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit to him and to serve him. And I shared this last week, but I got it in the notes again. A major problem with leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and a submission to authority. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider less knowledgeable or who have served less time in ministry than them. You know, that's what pride will do. It'll keep you thinking that you're it. All right, let's move on. Okay. Job 41 and 15 says, it's talking about Leviathan. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. His scales, the scales of Leviathan, are his pride. They're hard. They're shut up together as a closed seal. These protection, and this is something we talked about earlier, but it's going to get into it a little bit more. These protecting spirits must be dealt with. And what I mean by that is pride will always, some people are unable to receive deliverance from the spirit of Leviathan because the kingdom of pride is so bound in them, it disguises itself in so many other ways until they can't see straight. Remember one of the things I talked about, how a person who walks in pride can't hear God? And not only can't you hear God, you can't even see straight. You know, when you walk and your vision, spiritual vision is blurred. Why? Because pride has gripped you. And even though somebody may be trying to help you, you think they're trying to hurt you. You know, because you can't see straight. You can't hear straight. You know, it affects all your spiritual sensitivity. It will affect all of your spiritual sensitivity. The spirit of pride is eliminated by always walking in humility. When you walk in humility, that will eliminate the spirit of pride every time. About 2 weeks ago, the apostle, he came on stage and he said, I need more testimonies of people who God has healed their bodies or done something for you. You know, because God had given him the mandate to teach on health and healing and gave us some strict instructions about getting off meats and fish and you know, poultry and just eating a plant-based diet. And so I did, and some of the people who are members of the church know I shared some things yesterday. But the minute he said that, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to go ahead on and share what God had did with you. Now, I had high cholesterol, LDL, high glucose, everything. You know, numbers were just off the chart. But because of the things I did, submitting to my man of God, all that changed. Now, most men are kind of, me and one of my coworkers who's a church member was talking about this early this morning, are kind of private. know, a lot of men don't, they don't want to let, you know, people don't know my, they don't want to know my business. I'm a man, you know, I just suck it up, you know. Now, women are more, they'll share things, but a man ain't going to go and say, look, this was going on in my life, this is going, you know. But the Lord said, I want you to share it, and I want you to get the blood work. Remember the apostle, you know, for people who remember the church, well, everybody's following. I know that. That's not a problem. But he said that in 6 months, that God will give you new blood. Well, technically, my blood was renewed because what I shared had actually was blood work. All I was sharing was blood work. So the numbers, you know, what he said from the pulpit happened in my life. You know, and actually it was less than 6 months. My blood work was changed. Because basically what I shared, cholesterol, one of them was like 225, went down to 100. One was 149. I don't remember all of the scientific and what it was called, but it went down to 49. And you know, everything just dropped dramatically because of what I did. But that's what, you know, that's humility. You know, and this is what the Lord told me about that. He said, if you wouldn't have shared that, you would have let a loud pride to keep you from sharing a testimony. The minute after I shared that, I went back to my seat, my phone started buzzing. People who were watching on the internet who knew me started to say, what was that you did? Share that with me again. So I'm texting, I'll get back with you later, you know. I'm leaving the church, people coming up to me, you know, men, you know. So, you just have to humble yourself. Yeah. You know, I mean, the enemy wants to attack us all, yeah, you know, but God, one thing an apostle will do, he will lead you into prosperity. Yeah. Health is a prosperity, you know, being whole and financial prosperity. But one of the things he's been teaching on is obedience. Yeah. You've got to obey. You know, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land, you know, and that's so very important. Amen. And so that was a test for me. I'm teaching on pride and you know, he made that statement and I had been thinking about doing it, but I wasn't going to share everything. The Lord said, share it all, right. You know, so I had to get up there and humble myself, you know, because otherwise I would have been gripped by pride because I'm a man and I'm keeping it all to myself, you know. But, you know, that's something, you know, we all have to, you know, there's always tests that you go through. And when you go through them, you see now God can continue to do the work that he was doing. Because I opened the door now for the anointing because it's motivated and it's inspired other people. But now because of my obedience, you know, that anointing that's on this ministry, on my man of God, can continue to manifest itself in my body and work with me as I do what I've been told to do. All right, let's move on. Proverbs 18 and 12 says, before destruction, the heart is haughty, and before honor is humility. Before destruction, the heart is haughty. And we said haughty is an insulting person, a person who has an insulting attitude, one who is blamefully and disdainfully proud, or proud-minded. But before destruction, the heart is haughty, and before honor is humility. You know, when you want to walk in honor, you first must walk in humility. When you walk in humility, honor will be knocking at your door. Honor will be knocking at your door. When you walk in humility, honor will be knocking at your door. That's so very important that we understand that God wants us to walk in humility. And the only way to defeat that spirit of pride is through the anointing of God and for us to walk in complete and total humility. And the humility part comes first because you have to first humble yourself down. The Bible says if you humble yourself before the Lord, you know, he will exalt you in due time, in due season, you know. And so always under every situation, sometimes just ask yourself, Lord, am I walking in complete and total humility? And I like to use a definition of humility in the last minute or so. And I stated it before, it's not weakness, but it's a meekness to do the will of God, to follow the instruction, and to humbly go before God. You know, God will speak through you, through your pastor, through your spiritual father, whoever that may be. I know we got people online, and I'm trusting that, you know, because you are part of this ministry, that the apostle is your spiritual father. And if you don't have a spiritual father, you've already been instructed you need one, you know. So, I mean, that should be one of the first things you settle, you know, in your life and in your ministry. You know, but when you do that, you walk in humility, is doing what you've been instructed to do, doing it with an open mind and an open spirit. And by doing so, now God is able to bless you and stop. All right, we go. God is able to bless you and keep you moving forward and expand your horizon spiritually. And you'll begin to grow spiritually in leaps and bounds. Amen? All right, we'll conclude for the day. We'll see you guys next week. Amen.